This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Sharp Money, VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. You made it Friday, as we say hi. I'm Patrick Maher, live from Los Angeles. Of course, the dangerous duo there, downtown Las Vegas, Fremont Street at the D Hotel Casino and Spa. I don't know if they have a spa, but the big guy will find one if they do. Of course, right there at Bar Canada, as we say hi to the boys. Got a huge show coming up for you. It is a Friday, so Samich is going to join in the third hour. And of course, we'll run the board every NFL game. Speaking of which, the Jags with the win last night. We may have some drama with the New Orleans Saints, which we'll get to coming up in just a little bit. You have two more baseball games as far as the Major League Baseball playoffs. And from the freaking clouds, Brandon Pfaadt. Where did that come from yesterday as the Snakes climb back into the series against the... I'm out on the Phillies, by the way. I'm out. I can't wait to fade them in the World Series. We'll get to that in just a bit. But 2-1 series lead for the Phillies there. And then somebody pissed off the champs as the Astros get nuts. We said Andrew Haney wasn't any good. We thought he'd last the first inning. He didn't. He gone, and it's a 2-2 series there with the Astros and the Rangers, as we say. And our Dukes, big guy, Dustin Sweetelson with JMU, a win over Marshall last night. Let's say hi to the boys and get this three-hour tour on the tracks. Amal Shaw, how are we feeling today?
Feeling good, feeling a lot better than Foster Moreau for the New Orleans Saints. But tell you what, great baseball last night between that Phillies Diamondbacks game and then, of course, the Astros just jumping on Dallas, on the Rangers early, and it was over. Tell you what, guys, it's going to be interesting the way the series moves forward. I know people hate the Houston Astros, but you're going to be seeing them for several more games.
Absolutely. Those cheaters aren't going anywhere. And speaking of cheaters, a huge college football slate, Michigan State. I took a shot at the Maizen Blue there. We'll get to that. Of course, the headline at the Horseshoe with Penn State, Ohio State. We'll get to the college action. And you mentioned as far as the Jags survive a late scare from the Saints 31-24 winner. But the big guy joins us and feeling good on a Friday. What's cracking?
Danger.
Used to call us dangerous duo. It made me think of mystical. I am in danger in our dog pound segment we do. I'm in a lot of trouble. Both of you hit underdogs last night, and I had a big lead going into things like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I've been ice cold, and I am very nervous about that. You, Amal, hit on Rice, outright winner on the
great
road
call
at Tulsa.
Thank you.
And then you hit on the Jaguars, which, looking back at it last night, it's like, come on, which team's the better football team? The Saints are awful. The NFC South is awful. I have no idea who to pick to win that division right now.
Yeah, Patrick, great call. That game really should not have been as close as the final score. I didn't like Doug Peterson's decision to go for it on fourth down. But by the way, can people realize that Trevor Lawrence is one of the top five scramblers in the National Football League? I mean, go back to his days at Clemson. He's beaten so many defenses with his legs at times.
That's why dismissing him when talking about Caleb Williams. And remember, we talked about it on Friday where I told you that the scout said Caleb Williams is going to make Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow seem just like basic game managers. Are you freaking kidding me? Lawrence is a superstar. Burrow's already gone to the Super Bowl. And Caleb Williams, you know what's interesting? Just as an aside for fun today, the quarterbacks in college football, I wrote down 12. That were exceptional. I'll save it, Amal, but I wrote down 12 that are exceptional. It's a very rich time for quarterback play in college football. Oh, by the way, I had Caleb Williams ranked fourth on just like top of mind list. So the hype for Williams, but you mentioned Lawrence. So let's discuss him because he was uneven through the air and he was playing with the injury, but he had 8 rushes for 63 yards. You can go back to the national championship game, I believe it was against Alabama, where he just pulled away from defenders running the football. Agree with you. His size and his athleticism is underrated. So let's get into it. 31-24, the under. Sorry about all that. But the Jags survive a late scare for their fourth win in a row. And now 5-2, they sit well atop the AFC South. You talked about the NFC South, the AFC South as well. Not very good. Lawrence, 20-29, Amal, 204, one touchdown. Kind of uneven throwing the football, but 8 for 63 on the ground. And really the story here, and I'll let you guys run with this, but the Jags D early on, I don't know if we want to compliment the Jags defense or if we want to start taking shots at what could be kind of a brewing controversy, and that is the Saints' inept, unimaginative offense. And now it appears there's some beef with Derek Carr, who didn't do anything except check down for three straight quarters, and potentially Chris Olave. But that's what I had in my notes. The Jags defense early on, you know, three quarters, just giving up 9 points. And I wrote down Carr continues to check down.
Well, this has been a problem with his throughout his entire career, and I don't think he's gotten called out for it. He's a nice guy with the media, so he gets a little bit of a pass. But this has been a problem. Until that fourth quarter, guys, the New Orleans Saints had scored as many offensive touchdowns as their opponents' defenses had scored, one each. I mean, it's unbelievable how poorly this team had played on the offensive side of the ball. They do have that quick three-strike drive where they hit Thomas twice and they get the touchdown to get things level. But I don't know. You get down to the six-yard line. I didn't like the idea. They did have Foster Moreau. I think it was on second down. Might have been third down. But I thought they should have mixed in a run with Alvin Kamara. He was effective on that drive as well. Some of the decision-making with this team, it's amazing. We criticize so many coaches. I shouldn't say we. I know I do in particular, but it's amazing that Dennis Allen continues to get a pass. There is some serious talent on this team, but the problem is in the secondary with the number of PIs, defensive holdings, illegal contacts they get. And then when was last time at the professional level you saw a wide receiver take a crossing route like Christian Kirk did and just go straight to the house? That looked like a play you see in the Mountain West Conference.
They have two problems, the Saints, Dustin, Amal, and Dennis Allen, you just mentioned, is 18-42 as a head coach in the National Football League. He should be gone. Like, get the hell out of here. Take the offensive coordinator with you. My gosh, what is that? But then Derek Carr, the pick six doesn't help. But how about this? Derek Carr over the last two games, 102 pass attempts, just two touchdowns on 102 pass attempts. Those 102 pass attempts is the most in a two-game span in his career, and the most in a two-game span in Saints history. The Saints had Sean Payton and Drew Brees. He threw 102 pass attempts over the last two games and two touchdowns to show for it. This offense right now, anemic, big guy. And, of course, the Michael Thomas touchdown, two-point conversion. Taysom Hill gives them an element late where they kind of tied it up at 24-24, but the Jags come back and answer with Christian Kirk on the touchdown that Amal just discussed.
Yeah, I don't know why you guys are trashing Dennis Allen. He's living the American dream. He has a 30% career win percentage as a head coach. Of coaches to coach 60 or more games, that is ranked 169 out of 174.
Donks behind him?
Him being an NFL head coach again after what we saw, and especially with the way the league is going now with more offensive-minded coaches to prop up that side of the ball where everything matters so much more, it is one of the more remarkable moves of all time. The only question with the New Orleans Saints for me right now is, can Jameis Winston change their future?
But by the way, why have the Saints for the last season and a half just absolutely refused under any circumstances to put Jameis Winston on the field unless it's a dire emergency?
Or get creative with Taysom Hill.
I agree. In the red zone.
They're hearing too much talk. There was a lot of talk about too much Taysom Hill, too many gadget plays, too many of him under center. And it's almost like they listened to the outside noise and now they're not using him in that way anymore.
By the way, remember when they got the ball back after they tied it at 24? Jacksonville punts. They get the ball deep inside their own, I think, 10, 12 yard line. They go a quick three and out on three incomplete passes. How about getting a conversion of a first down and then start opening up your offense? I didn't understand why they just dropped back and threw the ball.
I don't think they have an opening of the offense.
Well, at least better than, hey, let's throw the ball out of bounds and then let's complain about it when the play doesn't execute according to the plan. But I have no idea what this team is doing. I thought you were in a bad spot because as soon as you punt there, Jacksonville gets one first down. They're in field goal range.
Also, the Saints, I guess, objective and philosophy of getting into the red zone and throwing goal line fades one after another.
What is that?
Probably not going to get it done. What are those? That is such a throwaway, literally and figuratively. Well, just that shows you've got nothing as far as imagination in that playbook.
In their mind, they're probably saying, you know what? We've got a 33% chance of catching a fade route. So if we throw three of them, I'd say we're going to catch one of them. It's the only thing I can think of. The offense is gross. It's disgusting. I was like the last Derek Carr defender, but even I was on the fence with where he is right now. This guy is no longer a starting quarterback in the NFL. He takes risks at the wrong time. He doesn't take enough risks when he should, when it's advantageous for the offense. He doesn't move the ball down the field the right way. This guy, you can't win with him. He's a useless quarterback. And here's the problem for the Saints right
now.
Can't
do it.
They are locked into a contract with him for the next few years. They're also still in salary cap hell for the next few years. I don't know when things get right for the Saints. You got to look at this salary cap. Ramchick's making $27 million next year. Cam Jordan, 23. Kamara, 18. Taysom Hill, 16. Andrus Pete, 13. Jameis Winston could potentially make $10 million next year. This team has mismanaged the cap in a way nobody ever has in the NFL.
Who is it, Carmichael, that's running the offense? Let me explain something to you, Mr. Carmichael. You should always be thinking WWBJD. What would Ben Johnson do? You know, he orchestrates the offense for the Detroit Lions. Nobody's ever called a better game than Ben Johnson. I swear to God, I'm 45 years old, watching football my whole entire life. Everybody wants him because he calls the most marvelous offensive flow you've ever seen. You think he's going to throw fades in the red zone? What would Ben Johnson do? Donk.
Well, you better be careful because the people in New Orleans might find out next year when he's their next head coach.
But by the way,
the problem is the owner with the umbrella. Remember Benson used to run around with the umbrella.
Tom
His
Benson.
Wife runs the team now. You know what? Like Allen, Carmichael, Derek Carr. Like, this is a problem for the Saints moving forward, who are 3-4. And the Jags, conversely, all of a sudden, four straight wins. We'll come back and hear from Derek Carr. Maybe some drama there in the Big Easy.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Yowza, big guy directing traffic at the D. I see you working, Dustin. I see you working, my man. I'm proud of you. And I'd be proud of you if you signed up right now and saved a bunch of money. $120 for the Sports Equinox. All four major sports in action. And VSIN's got you covered. Daily best bets, unlimited action, and access to our betting splits. Remember, you get the tools, you get the betting guides. We've got another betting guide coming out with the college basketball guide, which is going to be freaking awesome. Get involved. March Madness, the draft, VSIN.com/subscribe. It's kind of that special time of the year where you've got the Sports Equinox. So we've got a special $120 through May 1. Can't beat it. VSIN.com/subscribe. Okay, hope you're having a nice week as we welcome you back here on Sharp Money. This is VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Just a ton to do. Just the best time of the year. Major League Baseball looks like it's going to start to get interesting. It already has in the AL. I think there's going to be some, I don't know if you want to call it beef, but there's some tension right now in that series. The Snakes made it interesting last night. Brandon fought from the freaking clouds. I don't know where that performance came from. Suarez was very good as well. In that series, as far as the ALCS is concerned, we reset the rotation. So, of course, you're going to have Verlander, Montgomery, which we'll get to in a bit. But as we welcome you back, Dustin Sweetles and Amal Shaw, they're at the D. And I see you working, big guy. I see you working.
Well,
that was impressive.
It kind of blew up in my face because a young lady was going to sit directly behind me, even though this section is roped off. And I got to tell you, I was a fan. I was definitely a fan. She was not
a fan
of Sharp Money, but I was a fan, which is the only reason why I get up to say, hey, you know, you can't really sit here. This VIP only section, right? I never get to pull that on anyone. And I was like, yeah, I go over there, over there. And she goes, oh, I don't even know what I'm doing. And then she just bounced and left. I was hoping maybe she'd sit over there, right next to me, just on the outside of the set. That way, maybe in between breaks, I go, sorry for being kind of rude if I was back there. Let me buy you a drink while I'm on the air.
I saw her and she completely fits your type and your proclivity. I was a little surprised that you didn't kind of use, hey, I'm doing a broadcast here. You can sit right to the left here and maybe invite her to stick around. Instead, you gave her the boot.
No, and I was like, well, I should have said you should go sit over there. But truth is, my arms are so sore from the gym these days. I can't really stretch them out to point properly.
Is that a flex?
No, I can't flex. They're so sore.
Yeah, but I mean, you just bragged about working out so much.
Well, that's what I would have said to her, like, hey, you should go sit. Oh, you know what? My arms, big arm day yesterday. Big arm day.
Yes. All right. Well, maybe you could track her down and she could join us when we run the board. Okay. So you just sent me, and I don't know, Amal, if you saw it either, your boy Ohio State, Chris Olave. It at one point it appeared yesterday. Then we'll look ahead what the Saints and the Jags have coming up with the Jags 31-24 winner on Thursday Night Football to kick off week 7. By the way, can we get our buddy Al Michaels, maybe a Celsius, maybe some Starbucks, maybe a 5-hour energy. I don't know what it is, but Al's in his 80s and it appears that is starting to show. Now, at one point, Derek Carr was screaming at Olave for giving up on a route. Did you two notice this? Because I didn't notice it in real time.
Yeah, I saw it right away. So Olave's running. It was the third down play just after the last sequence for them. They had tied the game up at 24 apiece. And he threw what was supposed to be a deep ball. And Olave kind of just fizzled out on the route, really didn't run the route fully or maybe cut the route off short. And so Carr was pointing. I didn't know if it was necessarily towards Olave or something he saw down the field, but it seemed like it might have been towards Olave.
Yeah, it's not really in his nature, yeah. And that is Derek Carr, who's God-fearing. We know this. The most exciting part when they were on Hard Knocks was him continuously talking about how nervous he was to prepare to his boo thing. Remember that? But he was just like, gosh, you have to understand. I had to ask her father. Amy, he's so wholesome. That's why it's always hard to talk about Derek Carr in a negative way because, you know, low-key stinks, but yeah, no, at the same time, he's like a really good person. He means well. Yeah, he's good-natured. However, we do have a couple of clips from him. Maybe we could glean something here as far as chemistry and that Saints locker room, big guy.
Yeah, so the first one here from Derek Carr after the game, he was asked about the interaction with if it was intended for Olave, his frustration, and he just kind of went on a diatribe about being too emotional on the field right now.
You know, I've been showing my emotion a little bit too much on my sleeve, you know, like I kind of got to chill out, you know, and that's me holding myself accountable because that's not going to help anything. And so just trying to be a calming influence in those moments, especially when it's been a couple of times it's happened, that heightened frustration, I could do a better job as a leader to calm everybody down. Like the past 2 weeks, I've just been talking in general, you know, because there was some things, and you know, I'm not going to tell you, but there were some things that happened today that led to some pretty big negative plays that should never happen. And I think that's where my frustration was coming from.
Wow. So I guess he did kind of passively right there just call out teammates maybe doing the wrong thing. Is that what you guys took from that?
I thought he was from the Shane Beamer School of Media right there. I mean,
yeah,
it just, I was surprised to hear him say that last comment, Patrick, which you just pointed out.
But I think maybe I edited it wrong. He didn't want to single out Olave. I think there was more than just Olave that went wrong. But if you watch the play, he's looking at Olave and he throws it out of bounds towards Olave. There's no one else to be mad about.
Josh McDaniels hasn't done a lot right as the Raiders coach. But his evaluation of the quarterback situation when he got there and getting out from under it might be a franchise saving decision.
Yeah. Real quick, Derek Carr, multiple choice. I want to run this by you guys. I'll give you four options. Derek Carr is from A, Oklahoma, B, South Carolina, C, Alabama, or D, California.
D, Fresno,
he's from
California.
Northern California.
Yeah. Why does he sound like that?
Like country?
Yes.
A remarkable like swath of Northern and just California in general is quite country and rural.
I don't know.
But you're right. But he does sound like a kid that I went to school with, and that was in South Carolina.
He owns a banjo.
I mean, I guarantee he's a great citizen in his community. He's a great husband. He's a great father. Just not a great quarterback.
No, he's not.
We've got another clip from him.
Yeah. So, this was him then reflecting on the loss, things not going right. And Derek Carr said, we got to get things going in the right direction.
I'm going to do everything in my power to fix that, you know. And I know our guys are going to do everything in their power because it's not malicious or, you know, coming from a bad place, you know. And so, you know, look, it sucks right now. You know, we're finding everything that sucks right now. We're going to point it out. We're going to call it out. And we're going to try and work on that to get better as leaders. And that's our job. You know, whether it's going really good or it's tough, you still got to be able to you know, I say it before every game to the guys, we're not playing the scoreboard, we're playing against the standard. And our standard is this. If that's our standard, that's what we're playing against. And, you know, we got to make sure that not only throughout the week, you got to meet that standard, but when game day happens, you got to meet that standard. Like, I'm okay, you know, if a guy gets beat, you know, I'm okay if they make a play that, I mean, they're going to make a play, you know. But there's some things in football that are completely controllable that I think we could do better.
Oh, he's pissed.
Yeah, but
that's as pissed off as a God-fearing man is going to sound, but you could tell he's pissed right now.
But he's saying that we're, like, the whole team isn't doing things and like other people like aren't getting done what needs to get done. But he also doesn't get done what needs to get done.
Oh, I would agree with you on Carr. I never understood the affinity for him all these years. I thought he was just a guy who was a good quarterback who got paid like he was an absolute top 10 quarterback. Never saw that out of him. But this is the most criticism I've seen him give of other teammates. And I'm not exactly sure what has brought this on. But when you look at the Saints team, the frustration you can sense is starting to boil over simply because there's enough talent, whether it's on the offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, special teams, to be better than they are. And they are arguably in, would we say, the weakest or the second weakest division in football?
Ooh.
Yeah, right there. The two Souths.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no two argument. Souths. Exactly.
AFC and FC South. Yeah. Hey, you're right. Now I can't not hear Merle Haggard when he talks. Like, could he be more country? Like, what is going on?
He's ready to open the press conference with Amarillo by morning.
Amarillo by morning.
It's a banger.
Check yes or no. All right. Things don't. Now, that was your favorite coming into the season as far as in division. Pretty good favorite as well in the Saints. And right now they're a disaster. 3-4. They travel to the Colts next week. I can take a look at the number and just quickly, boys, the Jags, who all of a sudden, as I mentioned, 5-2, well atop that AFC South. And again, fourth straight win, very impressive because they went to London and then they came home, didn't take the bye, covered, very good performance against the Colts. Now go on the road and beat up on the Saints. Impressive. And they will be at the Steelers this week, boys.
I don't know if you guys agree because the Buffalo game, they had that extra week in London, I thought was an advantage to them. But I thought this is the most impressive win during the winning streak. You go on the road, Saints have generally done well at home, good defense. You expected it to be a lower scoring game, and they find a way through after having squandered a 15-point lead.
Yeah, I thought they were defensively was really what stood out to me last night.
Yeah, I'm really impressed by how they answered following the Houston loss. It was a bad loss. We had them in Survivor, and now they're proving to be who we originally thought they were, just which would have happened earlier, and we'd still be in Survivor.
We've got a baseball game coming up in about an hour and a half. We'll get to that next. Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this season, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. DraftKings got you covered. All you have to do is download the DraftKings app and use the promo code SHARP when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Sharp Money, welcome you back here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network's Great Friday. It's a great time to be alive. You know, I'm just going to pass this along because, yes, I'm a donk. And yes, I'm late to the party generally when it comes to technology. But Amal and Dustin just hit me to something that if I don't know, there's somebody out there that doesn't know. So I'm going to teach you a little trick that's going to save a lot of dudes' lives when it comes to dating. Okay. Now, again, Amal Shaw, Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. This is, how is it possible that I didn't realize that maybe it's just iPhone, boys? I don't know.
But it's just
we
iPhone.
Can now undo text messages. So if you send somebody a text, you know, maybe you're having a cocktail too many, a tequila. I'm looking at you, Dustin Sweetelson. And you send some young lady a text that you're like, oh, that's embarrassing. All you have to do is double click it and undo text. This is, Amal, how long has this been happening for?
At least 3-4 months. What are we, in October? I want to say maybe early. I want to say around June 1st or so.
Now, I don't think I'm as impetuous as I was when I was younger, like send off things and then want to go reach through the phone and grab them back. But there are still times that we botch it and we send something that we're not supposed to. So big guy, my assumption is whether it be Tinder, once the Tinder conversations go to the phone, have you used the undo text yet?
I haven't used the undo. I've definitely used the edit. edit to clean up some mistakes. You know, every now and then, by the way, like if you use the wrong there, which I'm pretty good about using the right there, but if you ever accidentally slip, that is like the number one deal breaker among women these days, just messing up there.
Well, a lot of them are donks, too. They don't know how to use it either. T-H-E-I. Hey, so wait. Edit is, I just sent you a text. I can edit. When I go to edit the text, does it rip it back from you so you don't see what I'm editing?
So edit it right now. If you click
I will.
And then you hit edit.
By the way, I'm editing. I am.
And now change it to something else.
You'll get the final product.
And then I'll, test, I'm editing. I see it. And it also marks that you
think you saw it. Go ahead. What did I just text you? Nothing. It's gone. Yeah, I just undid it.
By the way, so I want to correct one thing I said during the commercial. You have 2 minutes on the iPhone. It's on WhatsApp where you have 15 minutes, but on the iPhone, it's 2 minutes.
And WhatsApp is for shady humans that don't want to be figured out, correct?
Foreign correspondence.
Foreign correspondence, exactly.
Ooh, Boricua. All right. Fezzik. Oh, we do have, maybe we can put these on the sheet too for if you sign up over at vsin.com/subscribe. Remember, all show hosts and guests, all the picks get put on the sheet, and Fezzik, professional handicapper, just sent over one as his best bet from the NFL and one from college, which I'll pass along on the show in just a bit and on the sheet as well. Okay, boys, let's do this because I think it's quite fascinating with the first matchup coming up 2:07 my time. So that would be 5:07 for you on the East. Houston at Texas. Of course, you got the middle three in Arlington. Series tied at 2-2. We reset the top of the rotation, Amal, Verlander, Montgomery. I want to tell you something. Like, I don't know where you guys stand on this. We had the conversation, Amal, about Scherzer or Verlander in their prime. But I'm going to tell you right now, even though Scherzer is a first ballot Hall of Famer, the pitching advantage goes to Montgomery, boys. Like, Montgomery has been freaking awesome. And last night, the three of us were all over what we thought was going to happen and what transpired with Andrew Haney, the soft thrower, just tossing lobs. Now, Houston scores three, but if you were watching the game, they had bases loaded and they got out of it. So we should have gone over the team total of 4.5 in that first inning. Had to wait a little bit, but they end up plating 10, Abreu with the 3-run bomb. This is all of a sudden, not just a series. We can take a look at the adjusted series price. And my assumption is Houston's going to be favored here.
Yeah, I haven't seen the number yet, but you're absolutely right, Patrick. And, you know, you look at this matchup today, Montgomery's had three starts in the postseason so far. One hiccup against Baltimore, but in the other two starts against Tampa and Houston, he's been tremendous. 13 and a third innings pitched in those two performances, 11 hits, no earned runs. That's the most important thing. And just one base on balls going against 11 Ks. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know where you guys are from a play perspective. My only concern in this game is, does Houston get to Montgomery? I love the under 9 in this game. I don't think Texas is going to hit Verlander. I think JV is going to have an epic performance. Gave up 2 runs last start. He was very effective against the Rangers. I think he's going to pitch at a comparable or even better level than he did last time.
We're sitting 9 on the total. Let me just check in the market here because I do think, do we have some 8.5 sprinkled? No, it's pretty much, you're right. I'm right there with you. I'll go under. Montgomery's been a wizard. Verlander, this is, as Amal just kind of outlined, this is the perfect spot to be throwing JV. I would probably, goodness, $1.12 on the Rangers. Montgomery's just been so good since that trade. But yes, my assumption was we were going to be sitting 8.5 or 9. I can look no other way except the under here, big guy.
No, I was just going to add one other thing, Patrick, real quick, in terms of why I like this total. We've got a rest day tomorrow before they go back to Houston on Sunday. This is going to be virtually almost all hands on deck today. You got to get this game, particularly if you're Texas, but even Houston just as well. I think it's an opportunity where these pitchers are going to be given short leashes. There's not going to be a lot of margin, except Verlander, to have any errors behind. I mean, just not pitch the way you'd expect them to, Montgomery or anybody else out there.
Big guy, what do you got?
Yeah, I think Verlander in this spot, back against the wall, this is what he's built for. Like, this is what he does. This is why they traded a couple of really good prospects to the Mets for him, by the way. Like, they knew in a situation like this, they needed Verlander back in the mix in that rotation. This is why he's there. They're also better on the road. They're better versus lefties, but I agree with you guys on this under, because Jordan Montgomery is the hottest pitcher in the playoffs right now. He has stepped up every step of the way for this franchise as they've needed him in the postseason. Last time out against Houston was awesome. Was also good against them in the regular season, too. And this is a guy, remember, he is pitching for a contract in the offseason. I know that doesn't guarantee the results, but I also know that means this guy is locked in, dialed in. We've seen a lot of guys make a lot of money in the past because they went off in the playoffs and got branded as a big game pitcher. Jordan Montgomery does that tonight. That's on the line. I like the under. I think it's going to be a pitcher's duel.
Assuming the roof's going to be closed in Arlington, which would help us with that under. That's just my assumption. But the pitching matchup, again, when you're talking Montgomery v. Verlander, a rematch of game one, and both guys pitched into the seventh in that one and pitched great. No reason for either of them to slow down here. This is such a contrast from what we saw with Urquidy and Haney on the bump yesterday.
And by the way, Jordan Montgomery, his three postseason starts so far this year before this one, all on the road.
Yeah.
I think that's really interesting that it's so much harder to get into a rhythm like that as a starter in a big game like this. I love him being at home again to stay dialed in.
By the way, just I had to put aside, I know I just talked about Montgomery, but at the Astros, and you saw it early against Haney. Now, Haney and Montgomery, a big difference. They do mash lefties. Just to be in,
they've made again, a living.
It's almost
the whole lineup's made, living off killing lefties for years.
No, you're absolutely right. This is a great opportunity. Yeah. This is going to be interesting. By the way, real quick to the Houston lineup, not a single change. A couple of changes with the Rangers right now. Tavares is going up to fifth. Jason Jung is going to be at sixth. And now you've got Garver, who's been moved down to eighth in this lineup. So they're kind of trying to shuffle some things up. Haim is going to be batting in the number nine spot, where last night he was in the number six spot. So I think some concerns from Bochy right now in terms of where their lineup is, and made some changes in terms of where their placement is.
From the clouds to Phoenix, Arizona, Chase. Brandon Pfaadt, just like we drew it up. 5 2/3, 2-hit ball, 9 strikeouts. What? Against this Phillies. This Phillies lineup is so fraudulent. I'm sorry. I know you're going to laugh at me. It's feast or famine. 3 hits and a big spot where you can completely rip the series. I'm sorry. And Marte with the walk-off, ultimately the game winner, who's been awesome, by the way. Another 3 hits, 13 for 35 in the postseason. Kimbrel got touched.
Stinks.
Suarez was great for the Phillies. And again, goes bottom nine, 1-1 with the walk-off there for the D-backs. But never saw it from Pfaadt. And if you're watching the game, I don't know, it just looked like the Phillies were happy to go up 2-1. Like, they were just lackadaisical at the plate. 3 hits in a huge spot. That's feast or famine with a power lineup.
You're absolutely right. Couldn't get it going against Brandon Pfaadt. I don't know if you guys saw the post game with Pedro Martinez. I thought he brought up two excellent points. One, he said, was I would not have brought in Craig Kimbrel in a tie game. He walks too many guys. If it's a safe situation, I'm willing to take a chance with him. And then the other thing was, he looked at it, he said, why did they pull Brandon Pfaadt? He was pitching so well. The last thing you want to do if you're Philadelphia is you'd rather have an opportunity against a different pitcher. Worked out.
They're your Phillies, big guy. You love the Phillies.
Yeah, I'm scared. I think Arizona might have taken momentum completely back in the series.
Okay, let's get the adjusted price on that Phillies D-back series coming back. Then we'll get college football as well.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, all four majors in action, right? It's the best time of the year. I mean, sports are going nuts right now. So we've got the Sports Equinox special over at vsin.com/subscribe. You get pro access. So everything we do, including you wonder about the guides, the tools, the picks, it's all included through May 1st. So again, Major League Baseball, the NHL, NBA, entire NFL season. Of course, we've got the draft coverage, unlimited access to betting splits and daily best bets. Make sure you check them out right now and get the Equinox special for $120. It's a very good deal. Not going to be running it for long, so go check it over at vsin.com/subscribe. Just a couple of notes as we welcome you back on a Friday. I'm Patrick Maher. Amal Shah, Dustin Sweetelson. Hope you're having a good week. It's going to be busy today. We've got the updated series prices in Major League Baseball. Also got some, I hear somebody just won maybe that horse racing game over at the D where the boys are hanging out. I did want to pass along one betting note, and that is, and somebody had texted me this early this morning, and then I just saw confirmation. So the Houston Rockets are hosting the Miami Heat tonight in preseason basketball. Why am I passing that along to you? Well, here's the deal. Right now, DraftKings is showing the Rockets lane 2.5, but Ime Adeuke is doing something very... Why are you laughing, big guy? He's doing something interesting. This is the Houston, and I said Astros. It's the Rockets, final preseason game. Sorry. It's the Rockets' final preseason game. And so he is planning on starting the starters and playing the starters as a dress rehearsal, quote unquote, for all four quarters. So again, 2.5 is the number on the Rockets hosting the Heat. I don't have a game plan for the Heat, but that's a little bit of an aberration for a coach to come out and admit I'm going all starters and I'm playing starters four quarters because we don't play until next week. And this is going to be our dress rehearsal. I want to see what I have with a young team. Of course, Van Vliet added to the mix, want to get some continuity. So whether or not you want to lay the 2.5, I'm just giving you the information. I don't know if you two take anything away from that.
I like the move. You know, one of the things we complain about in preseason NFL is nobody plays anybody, and it carries over to the first couple of weeks of the NFL season. Let's see if this becomes a trend that catches on based on how the Rockets come out of the gates.
Yeah, I think it is interesting just because this was a team last year essentially playing AAU basketball with a bunch of young guys who played no defense. They just had no game plan. They just ran around and tried to out-athletic people up and down the court. Totally different team this year. Hardo, Fred VanVleet at point guard. Hardo, Dylan Brooks. Those guys are David Ecksteining it every second of every game, trying so hard to get the maximum effort out of themselves. So I think it makes sense. I get it. I don't hate it. Also, apparently Victor Oladipo's on the Rockets.
The Rockets' approach to last year's season, you mentioned no game plan, was kind of like your approach to that young lady that was standing behind you and you kicked her out of the red carpet. Right? Or I guess it's
red rope.
What do you call that area behind you?
Roped off.
Area?
There's a name for roped these off. Ropes that people keep using here at the company. Like, we're supposed to know the name. I'll get it for you before the end of the show. I don't know what it's called. I just know they're called ropes.
I'm gonna put the big guy on blast just for a second. There is, and I'm going to say her name. There is a beautiful young lady that works over at the Dean named Elizabeth that's got eyes for the big guy, and the big guy has eyes for Elizabeth.
I mean, I have eyes thick. For everyone.
so, being honest, dude. I'm putting it out there into the universe, and I know they want to follow along to see if Dustin ends up on a date with Elizabeth.
Yeah, I'm as picky with these women as I am with my college football plays, and I got like 14 this weekend, so...
Speaking of which, we'll get to Penn State, Ohio State coming up in just a bit. And that matchup, Elizabeth would be Ohio State.
And much like Elizabeth, I like the under in that game.
3-2-1. Let's move on. Okay. Updated series prices. The big guy. Last time we talked about one of Dustin's love interests, even Bill AD got wrapped up in the saga that was Mary.
Should I unblock her number?
If we're being honest about Mary, it didn't end well. That was the Titanic of on-air relationship talks. I mean, she basically said, "You're the devil reincarnate."
She called me a scumbag.
She did. She called you a scumbag, which is unfortunate, but she's not off. American League, I want to do this, fellas. If you can see what the circa there, where you guys are at the D, maybe contrast the numbers because it gives the audience a good idea, like, you know, how different shops vary. DraftKings right now, updated series price, American League. The Astros are $135 favorite. The Rangers coming back $115. What do you guys have there?
Astros -136, Rangers +124.
It just moved.
Oh, really?
During the commercial, it was 126 Astros, 115 Rangers.
Oh, interesting.
Maybe they heard us planning this segment in the break.
Phillies, NLCS. Phillies at 340 and the Diamondbacks plus 280.
Phillies are minus 405 and the Diamondbacks are plus 330.
So that is quite a difference.
Yeah,
you're looking at a 65-cent difference if you want to. Right now, if you like the Phillies, go to DraftKings. Because you're laying 65 cents less.
I know we're going game by game here with it, but I do have a few futures in play here. Like, I'm good no matter who wins in the NL. I have more money potentially on the D-backs at much bigger numbers at 80, 34, and 20 to 1. Only have one bet. I think it's at 13 to 1 on the Phillies. And it doesn't return. It would cover my nut, basically, for all the World Series bets I've done. What? That's not a bad word. Is that bad?
Go ahead. Continue.
That's not a bad word.
Go ahead. Continue.
People eat peanuts all the time.
Just continue, Dustin.
And then on the other side, I don't have a bet on Houston. Houston is my liability. So,
yes.
And I have a lot. I have the most money tied up in the Rangers at a bunch, like six or seven different bets. Should I be approaching this game differently?
Well, ask my math guy over there. What do you think he should do, Amal?
Well, we can't go back 48 hours, but when you're up 2-0 is probably your best bet or best opportunity. Right now, it depends on how your numbers break down and where you come out. That's really the thing. So many times when we have these scenarios, you really have to look at the numbers and really get into it in terms of very specifically what the payout is, what you're into it for, how much is the other side, and what's your liability, what it comes out to. So it's hard to give you an answer just based on what you said your numbers are. Did you make larger bets on Houston even though the odds were shorter? Did you, I mean, what's
no,
the
I have nothing on Houston. I have nothing on Houston.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed that.
The only team I do not have a ticket for. It's like seven or eight bets on the Rangers from 8 to 1 to 22 to 1. Phillies are about 13 to 1, and the Diamondbacks are 80.
Yeah, the Diamondbacks are your play, dude.
Diamondbacks bet. If the Diamondbacks meet the Rangers, I will have the most relaxed World Series of all time.
You got good prices. What do you have on the D-backs?
80 to 1, 34 to 1, and 20 to 1.
Look at you. So you were a big Brandon Pfaadt fan yesterday.
Well, actually, I was kind of bitter because I did bet the Phillies. But at the same time, yeah, my future worked out. And I'm hoping that they stole the momentum back from Philadelphia here and they can even things up.
Look at you, you baby gorilla. Phillies, either of you have a play on the late game tonight, NLCS, Phillies, Arizona?
I did not touch anything. Did you guys take anything here?
The pitching matchup makes it really difficult to figure this out. You got Mantiply starting. He's better at home versus the road, but he's not a starter. And then on the other side, Sanchez, this kid for Philly, he hasn't started since September 30th. And he's actually better away than he is at home. 208 ERA on the road, 393 at home. But I have never even seen him pitch.
4.5 on both team totals again. Now, you do have to lay $139 on the Phillies. And you're right around even money. I'm showing even money to go over the 4.5 with the Snakes. Based on the pitching matchup, I'm not sure if that moves either one of you. But just letting you know. $1.26. I'm showing the straddle over here. $1.26, 116 coming back on the Snakes. We've got $1.30 plus 120 on the D-backs. Again, that to me, now, whether or not you see a little bit of a different energy from the Phillies, those were wasted at bats yesterday.
Wait, did you see what the drama that was happening before the game? Phillies fans from across the country were buying Diamondbacks tickets, so Diamondback fans couldn't go to the game because a lot of tickets were still available.
Wow.
So they were invading Chase Field?
No,
what you're telling
they
me?
Were buying tickets and not going and not using the tickets, so there was less people
at
the game.
Just was That's sinister.
It's the most Philly scumbag move of all time.
That is you're right. That is such a Philly, that's such a Philly fan move, like to just embarrass them. I mean, it's not like, here's the thing. People in Arizona are going to get a bad rap for not being fervent fans. You know who, good fans of winning teams.
Yeah.
Like, you know how many times I went to Citi Field in the new Yankee Stadium and nobody was showing up when they weren't winning games. Like, you have a winner, people get excited about it, unless you live in Tampa Bay. Excuse me. Get excited about Tampa Bay and the Lightning. They get excited about the Bucks. They don't get excited about the Rays and St. Pete's. That's it.
They know the Lightning will actually close.
The 100%. All right, the big guy, you got some decisions to make there, big guy, because you've got a lot left for the World Series. We'll see what Samich has to say about that as well. Okay, when we come back, let's get to it. College football, boys, a huge matchup at the Horseshoe. Here comes Penn State in that one-dimensional offense.